There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You're listening to Drive Live, and we're just checking how healthy your car is.
Drive Live talks automotive.
Our guest today is Matthew Davidson from Dubizzle. Matthew, very good to have you on the programme.
How are you today?
Good, thank you. And we've also got motoring journalist Damien Reid. Damien, good to see you.
How are you guys? Good to be back.
Good. We're good, aren't we, Tim?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just looking online at car prices. I'm looking forward to doing this today. Not bad. Thank you.
Okay, we're not going to start with car prices, I don't think. Mm. We're going to start with cars being healthy because, you know, it's as Tim mentioned, it's hot today. It's kind of coming to that time of year when you need to start thinking about how well your car has been looked after, the fact that winter's probably been a little kinder to it than it might have been over summer. Damien, what do we need to think about now that the weather's changing?
Well, in this part of the world, it's very tough on cars in summer. So there's a few things you need to look at, but I guess the two main things, the two things that always come up, tyres and batteries. Electrics, because obviously electrical systems or batteries, they really copper hiding in the summer, and they lose a lot of their charge, about 30% or thereabouts. So, you know, that impacts then how long the battery is going to last. And the other thing, tyres, because obviously air pressure build, you know, with the hot weather, air pressure builds up, puts more stress on the tyres. If the car's been sitting around for a while, as we tend to sort of fly in out of this country a bit and cars sort of sit parked for times, that puts a lot of stress on the tyre as well. And then suddenly to have this inflated pressure has a big impact on. So they're the two main things. I mean, there's other things as well. There's coolants, there's checking your seals, all that sort of stuff. Mm. But as a general rule of thumb, when you go out and check the car, have a look around the four tyres and make sure the battery's healthy.
And Matthew, you have partnered really for Inspect It For Me. This is a health check, really, I guess, a safety car check for drivers at the right market. Tell us a bit more about that.
So it's a four-week initiative down at Barsha Pond Park every Saturday from 12 o'clock until 8, 9 o'clock at night. We're two more weeks to go, so try and get down this coming Saturday or the Saturday after. And it's we've got our independent guys there, so we're not working with any garages or guys that sell batteries or tyres. We're there simply to do a basic summer health check. So we'll look at the tyres, advise you on the condition of the tyres, battery, coolant, air conditioning, etc. Because this is the period. As you say, you can feel it getting hotter now. And we were talking before we came on air about how you see more tyre fragments on the road during July, August, September than any time of the year.
And it says from some of this research, the initiative has come from this research that has shown maybe a third of cars towed in this sort of period or last year required battery boosting. So if there's really simple things that you can do, they could end up saving you a lot of money in the long term, Damon, because, you know, the last thing you want really is to get your car towed. If there's something very simple you can do, it's going to save you money.
Yeah, and this is the key period of if there's any time to be concerned or to focus on preventative maintenance, it's now, and that's taking the initiative before the weather gets really hot and before you get stuck outside, because you do not want to be stuck on the side of the road on a really hot day waiting for an all-up lift to come and pick your car up between here and Abu Dhabi or LA or wherever. So it's best to check the maintenance of the battery. Now, most batteries are sealed, so it's hard. It's not like the old ones where you can sort of take the caps off and check the water level and that sort of thing. A lot of them are sealed, but you can check the indicator. There's an indicator on the top that shows it's either red or green. It shows whether it's healthy or not. And the tyres, have a quick walk around. Look at the tyre, check the tyres over. You can also find the date of manufacture on the tyre. So if it's getting to about sort of, I mean, in most markets, you're looking at 5-6 years old to replace tyres. Here, I'd probably halve that and say 3 years or thereabouts. And you can actually see the date of manufacture on the tyre. And if it's getting started to have that shiny look about it and shines of grazing and minute fractures, then replace them.
Mm, and I suppose if you're getting your car serviced regularly, you should be hearing these sorts of things, shouldn't you? My garage, for example, recently said, oh, you want to think about your tyres soon, and I did change them. But if you go away for 3 weeks or a month, a lot of people are thinking about summer holidays now. So essentially, your car would be parked for that time. and you come back, what should you do when you get back? What's the first thing you should do when you get in the car, aside from thinking, I better wash this? All right. Do you take it to a garage and get it looked at, or is it exactly as you've detailed? Kick the tyres, look around, detail that.
If you're going away for a long period of time and it's not too much of a taxing job, I would recommend just taking the negative terminal off the battery.
So even if it's a 3 weeks, 4 week holiday in the...
Well, if you, as you said, into months, but if you're away for certainly a month, what I do myself,
right.
I would take off the black negative terminal, leave the red live one on, and that will stop your battery draining down.
Okay.
First thing I would do when I return from a bit of a holiday, a bit of a vacation out of here, take it down to somebody you trust, a garage you trust, or an auto pro in your Enox, etc. They've got at the back, they've got battery testers, they've got the machines that test not just if the battery's good, but if it's charging well, what its life cycle is. Get them to check the tires. If your car's been parked up for a month, you want to be careful of flat spots on the tires as well. So particularly if they're a little bit older, then just get a general check over. These guys will do it for free. They'll check your car for free. If there's any work that's needed, they'll advise you of it.
That seems like a lot to do if you are maybe away for holidays for 3-4 weeks, though. It seems, I mean, I've never heard of doing that, and that's probably why I don't look after our car, because I didn't know that that was a thing.
Probably good policy there.
Yeah.
But if you come back from a vacation, let's just say you didn't disconnect the terminal, let's just say you did nothing and you drove back, you're talking about driving in, grabbing a coffee, say, guys, just check my levels, my coolant, my battery, my tires. It's 15 minutes, but that trade-off versus breaking down in 45 degree heat in July, I would take that 15 minutes any day.
Yeah, no, I get that. But even this process of taking off the battery and doing all that, it just sounds very advanced.
More recommended, particularly for, as Tim said, if it's into the months, if it's into 2-3 months, which people do exit the UAE for that period of time during the longer summer months, that's more advanced advice. But certainly as a basic bit of advice, if you've been away for a month, just take your car down, get it checked over, 15 minutes, better to be safe than sorry.
I mean, and it's a good point, isn't it? Because there are lots of families here who have two vehicles, perhaps stereotypically, but wife goes with children away, male here for a little bit longer. So what very often would happen would be, I suppose, husband driving wife's car, wife driving husband's car, just to keep it ticking over, as it were. But if you can't do that, then remove the negative terminal from the battery. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Drive Live, Talks Automotive.
Our guest today, Matthew Davidson from Do Bizzle, and motoring journalist Damien Reed. And we've been talking about getting your car ready for the summer. And that's just to make sure it's safe, to make sure you can avoid any expensive errors. But what we also want to do is a quick cash or trash. Now, we did this last week, Damien, and it was good fun.
It went well.
Yeah, it went well. Yeah. Can't take credit for coining the term. One of the listeners texted in with cash or trash, so we're going to stick with it. But this request comes from Steph from the ticket. So what's the car called, Tim? The model?
It is a Kia Picanto. And it is is it two-door or four-door? I think it's two-door hatchback. And Steph has had it for 3 years. Person before that, she bought it from, had it for, I think, 3 years. One owner before that. So we're guessing, and I know this doesn't really help in any way, but it's probably 8-9 years old. Round about that. It is copper in colour.
We need to first of all not call it trash, because it's Steph's car. So she will get cash, but I would say around 7,000-8,000 dirhams.
Okay.
Yeah. I think cheap and cheerful is a nice way to put them.
Probably true. I mean, she loves it, and it's a great little car, and she's had no trouble with it. I know that, but you know, it wasn't the most expensive car in the first place, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they're a fun little car. And but they're a reasonably short-term kind of car, so this is a reasonable window to say move it on.
Okay. So if you want to play along with cash or trash, if you've got a car you're querying, text us 4001 or via the free messaging app, and we'll give it a go, won't we, Tim?
Yeah, yes. We will. Quite right.
Okay. So let's say, of course, it's not just looking at how healthy your car can be, because sometimes no matter how well you look after it, Matthew, things can still go wrong. And if you are caught out and you do get stuck on the roadside, what are the steps we should take? Because lots of people live here. They come from different countries where the rules could be different. What is the sort of best thing to do if you do find yourself in a car that's broken down?
Yeah, you're exactly right. A mechanical electrical object can and will go wrong at any time. You can, of course, do all the due diligence you want. But if you are unfortunate, I mean, we'll start with one of the more scarier situations. You have a blowout on a highway. Don't hit the brakes really hard. Hold the steering wheel firmly, reduce the gas, the accelerator, apply the brakes incredibly gently, move across to the side of the road. If the blowout's on the rear, you'll be fine, because you'll just get a little bit of wobbling on the back. But if it's on the front, then that's your steering, and it will try and pull you in one of the directions. So golden rule, don't hit the brakes hard and panic. Ease off the gas, pull over to the side of the road. If you have any other fault, so maybe you see your temperature gauge really going high, again, move off the highway if you can, but this time try and get across into a side road, a service road, or if you're very fortunate, a fuel station, and get the car switched off.
Yeah.
If there's any kind of heating problem, overheating problem, switch the car off. Do not attempt to tackle it yourself. Open the bonnet, get involved in it. You're really under danger of some steam or anything coming out of that car that can injure you. So just leave it alone. It's perfectly safe, but don't tackle it. 99% of insurance policies have recovery. Call your insurance, say I've broken down, let them get you to a garage, but please always err on the side of caution. But if you are on the side of the highway, as in Europe, get out of the car. Don't sit in the car. Get away and move to a safe spot while you await recovery. You don't want to be sat in your car if you're on the hard shoulder of a highway where cars are passing you at 120. It's not very safe at all. And if you find yourself in a situation where it's a bit barren or out of the way, you should still move away from the car, but maybe see if you can get somebody to assist you. And basic rules, of course, when you do break down, hazard lights on. Always put your hazard lights on to warn other drivers. If it's at night time, leave your lights on.
Okay, so can I go back to the first thing there? If you do have a blowout, how do you train yourself? Because I think this is a question that we probably need answered. The first reactions you do is to slow down, and the first thing you think is, I need to stop here. So most of us do slam on the brakes, and when I was taught to drive, I was taught to do an emergency stop. That was part of the training. I guess it still is part of training now, but how do you train yourself to think that way?
It's very difficult, and it's a good question. I don't think you can ever prepare for the unexpected, but I think driving in these temperatures and these conditions, you kind of have to be ready for anything that happens. And I know it's instinctive to jam on the brakes, especially when there's a bang or a noise, which is what will happen. You'll hear some kind of noise. And if it's from the front of the car, no doubt your steering is going to pull one of two ways where it happens. But look, you can apply the brake, but very likely if you really hit the brake, you lock up and it's on a front wheel, you're going to go in the direction of the burst tire, and that's not a great situation if you're traveling fast. So just ease off the accelerator is a far better situation. Remember, if you're traveling at speed, the person in front of you, they're traveling at speed, so simply easing off the accelerator, you're not going to go anybody into anybody forward, and the people behind, you'll be decelerating and they'll be able to brake. So it's difficult, but you must just first rule of thumb, ease off the accelerator.
It happened to me actually on a motorway in Belfast in my old car, my little sweet car, and we were in the middle lane, and you do panic, you do think, I can't believe this is happening, and you only have a few seconds to sort of react. And luckily, I think, you know, my dad is not one for giving out lots of advice, but he had said to me, if you get in that situation, I think he talked to me about ice, talked to me about snow, and he talked to me about tyre blowing. And luckily, I remembered it in that split second. I had enough time to sort of calm down and do as you've said, but it's quite difficult. And I was on a motorway in a middle lane. And fortunately for me, it turned out okay. And I was able to call for help. And I did those things, braking slowly, lifting the foot off the accelerator. But I think it's very difficult to find this thinking space sometimes to do that.
One crucial point, just so there's no confusion, don't stop in the middle lane of the highway. If you have once you've slowed the car down sufficiently, say under 30 kilometers an hour, even if the tire's shredded, you can drive, you can move to the side of the road. The tire's finished and damaged, you know, who cares at the end of the day? But don't just stop in a panic and sit in the middle lane of the highway. That's
I just want to clarify, I didn't move off to the side.
Always move across where it's safe to the side, and hopefully other drivers will see what's happened and move out the way and give you the freedom to get across.
But it goes back, doesn't it, to thinking of driving. Think of any, and this is, we've learned this and been told this so many times, it goes back to thinking of every trip you take in a car and really treating it as a separate trip, not switching off, so that you're always aware of what you're doing. Concentration is so important. So many of us are singing along with the song on the radio, swigging coffee, whatever it is we do, talking on the phone, hopefully hands-free. But, you know, it's concentrating on it as an activity.
It's a really fantastic point you've made, because it's monotonous, especially when you do the grind. You go to work in the morning, you drive, you come home, and I see people drinking coffee, etc., and they're daydreaming, they're in another world. But that minute lapse of concentration is why accidents happen. So it's up to you to make sure that you drive with responsibility, safe for your family and for everyone else on the road.
Okay, we've had quite a lot of texts in for cash or trash. Let's kick this off. Damien, I'm going to come to you first. Yuva has a Volkswagen Passat SE 2014 model. It has 120,000 kilometres. It's white, maintained, serviced with the dealer. Average selling price for cash or trash on this Passat?
Oh,
nice car.
Yeah, it sounds like it's been looked after. 120,000 kilometres. Just a little bit high on the average, not too much, because it was a 2014 model. White, that will always sell. Maintained and serviced by the dealer. If the stamps are in the books, then that'll help as well. Passat, I'm just trying to think. Now, in 2014...
Matthew, do you
want to
jump
in? Figures? Okay.
Around 40,000.
Yeah?
Around 40,000
dirhams.
Okay.
Actually, not the easiest car in the world to sell here, the Passat.
Interesting.
Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know, because, I mean, I've lived here a long time now, but coming from Europe, they were always bulletproof. You know, you always used to see everyone driving the Passats, particularly diesel ones back there, but the Passat was always a stable car to choose. But here, I always find it relatively difficult to move. Just my opinion, but I would say that car with those kilometres, guessing it's been maintained well, around 40,000 dirhams.
All right, then. Here's another one for you. Pat, who wants to take this? 2005 Ford Explorer. Not bad, considering the age of the car, in terms of kilometres. 200,000 kilometres. That's all the detail we have here. Is there I guess there's a range for a car like that. But
well, you know, you've got variants of Explorers like XLT, Limited, etc. But if we said it was down the middle of the road, that number is very interesting to me, 200,000, because that's a number where people start raising their eyebrows here. Okay. I think... particularly as those kilometres start really sitting alongside a car that's now 13 years old, expect around 12,000 to 15,000 dirhams. And the only reason it's actually that high is because they're a great utility vehicle. You know, they can move around seven people, and people are still looking, if they want a quick run around or something to do the job, they're still looking to buy these type of cars. So it still maintains value, but I would say 12,000 to 15,000 dirhams.
Okay, there you go, Pat.
We are talking automotive. Our guest today, Matthew Davidson from Dubizzle, and motoring journalist Damien Reid. We've been playing cash or trash, and I think we've got Chandra on the line now. Chandra, cash or trash, what do you have to offer us?
Right, thank you very much. I have a GS300 Lexus that was purchased by me for about 165,000 dirhams, and it's done about 100,000 kilometers.
What year is it?
I bought it in 2007 in November.
Okay,
that's good kilometers for an 11-year-old car.
Not much, is it?
You've been taking care of your car, yeah?
Very much. You know, it's a Lexus, so you have to. It's got a very good service history. No accidents, you know, except a couple of minor, you know, fender benders. But otherwise, it's all fine.
So when you say service history, is it at Lexus, or have you stopped doing
yes,
that?
Yes, at Lexus.
But if it's got 11 years of Lexus history, that's and 100,000 kilometres, that's very nice, and there'll be a good market
still,
for that car.
It's still in great shape.
Yeah, you'll be looking around, I would say, 30,000 to 35,000 dirhams for that car.
Okie doke. Great. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for
calling. Chandra. Let's get through a couple of texts really quickly. This one caught my eye. This Infiniti G35, 220,000 kilometres, 10 years old, cash or trash? This person wants to be anonymous.
Ooh, so,
2010.
220,000 kilometres, though. 10 years old, Infiniti G35.
Oh, sorry, 10 years old. So yeah. 2008. Mm. 200,000 kilometres. Mm.
Mm. I'm not optimistic.
17,000, 18,000.
G35 resale's not too good on Infinities, particularly the older ones. 220,000 kilometres, 10 years old. Yeah, take really what you can get for it, I think.
Okay, we have, I think we've got Rob on the line. Rob has a car that I think is possibly a very popular one. Rob, ask the question about cash or trash, please.
Hey, it's, yeah, I've got a 2005 model Prado VX.
All of it.
Yeah, here we go. People screaming that down, there you go. Down the phones now.
Sold.
Sold.
Are you one of the guys that puts stickers on my windshield then?
Yeah, well, it's only at night.
Right.
Yeah, in the dark, yeah?
Yeah.
So, Rob, what?
Yeah, it's a VX. It's 229,000 kilometres on the clock. It had a sub-assembly. I enjoy driving it. So, it had an engine problem a little while ago. Put a sub-assembly in all through the dealer. But, yeah, what's it worth? If I get another sticker on the windshield, what should I ask for it?
What was the reason for the sub-assembly? Did you have any accidents?
No, it was, I took it for a service, and they said to me, you've got sludge in the engine. You need to open it. And so I said to them, well, in that case, let's do what we need to while the engine's open to keep it a longevity.
So this is one of the few cars, actually, that bucks the trend when it comes to having over 200,000. Normally, I say to our customers, look, if your car gets close to 200, get out of it. That's the sort of magic number that makes people sort of look away. But these Prados, they run, and everybody loves them, and especially the VXRs. I would actually say, even though it's 13 years with those kilometres, you would still get people chasing you for 30,000 dirhams.
Yep.
What do you think, Rob?
Well, it's mine. I enjoy driving it. It's not for sale. Good luck.
No, keep it.
Getting it out of
it.
My...
It's not trash, my friend.
I'm still
going
to put cards on your windshield at night, Rob.
No, it's okay. You can fill it up. I'll just drag them off and throw them away.
Good Thanks, to talk to you.
I think, it's fascinating the way those cars move. And he said, you know, at the end of it, it's not cash or trash, it's keep. But we'll do a couple more. Inti says, I've got Porsche Cayenne, 2009 in white, popular colour, 4-5 owners, 99,000 kilometres, leather interior, the AC's beginning to play up.
So we would probably need to know what type of Cayenne. You've got a basic V6, then you've got the Cayenne S, a V8, the GTS, the turbo, and the price is do swing around, but let's just go in the middle and say it's a Cayenne S. That's the old shape, the original old shape. The shape changed a year after that. I like the kilometres, 99,000 kilometres. That's good, and a great time to sell before it gets into the big 100K plus. But still, then there's so many on the market, Cayennes.
Yeah.
And I would probably still say you'd be lucky if it's a Cayenne S, maybe 40,000.
Should you get the AC fixed and get rid of it then, or just get rid of it before?
You need the AC fixed because it's warming up now. So the first thing I would do if I was looking to buy that car is sit in and switch the AC on. If that's not working, right, doesn't matter how cheap that car is, it's not going to work for you and your family. So hopefully it's AC gas, but if it's something a bit more sinister like the condenser or the evaporator, then it's going to cost you 2,000 or 3,000 if you can get some used parts. But believe me, it's worth spending that money because you won't get the value in the car back without the AC working.
Okay, this one, no name. Audi S5, 2011, 140,000 miles, black with full service history. Damien, like to hazard a guess?
2011 S5, that's the last of the... there was the V8, so it was still a few years to go before they switched to the six cylinders. A fairly good car, but now that they did drop a fair bit. If you look over to the showroom now, you're looking to spend 300 plus, but for this one, probably around the mid-70s.
Yeah.
75, yeah. I mean, if you go onto the market now, you'll see 2010s around 50-55 with higher kilometres. So the 2011 with those kilometres, yeah, 70k, 75 max.
Okay, this one from Andrew's caught my eye. Hi, I've got a 2014 V6 Mustang. I'm the first owner. It's got 72,705 kilometres, like the specifics, Andrew. What would be a fair price for it? So just over the 70,000 kilometre mark, V6 2014, he's the only owner.
Now, it's interesting, this one, because there's a lot of imports, US imports, in the Mustang market, and they absolutely play havoc with the prices. So it would be lovely if we knew it was GCC,
okay,
because the prices, but if it's an import, then the price delta is going to be huge. But we're just going to guess that this is a 2014 GCC V6 with history from the agency. If so, maybe 65 to 70.
And how much are they selling in, you know, when you go into the dealer, how much
the V6s? Everything's changing now, the engine's changing, but going back to when that car was purchased in 2014, you'd be looking at around 120,000 dirhams.
It's a lot of money, isn't it?
Okay, well, to own a Mustang of sorts, I suppose that's probably worth paying. What else have we got? Farouk texted in a while ago, actually, and said Honda Accord 2.4, 2004, gold, very good condition, 206,000 kilometres. What's that worth?
You're getting to the level now with these cars, 14 years old.
It's the 200 mark, isn't it?
200K. Yeah. The Accords, to be fair, all the Japanese cars, they're great. I mean, they really run. And that for sure, there's going to be buyers for that car. But you're down around that 8,000 to 10,000 dirham mark for that car.
Okay. There you go, Farouk.
Yes, good luck to everyone who's thinking of selling. I mean, it's just amazing how many people want to play cash or trash. We might bring this back because we are completely out of time.
I've got to trademark this if no one's done it. I'll be out of here like a bullet speaking to the Bizzles guys and say, let's trademark this.
Well, yeah, I think the person that sent it in last week has probably got the rights on it. But yeah, we'll give it a go. We'll do our best. But thank you very much for joining us. Our guest today, Damien Reed. Thank you for coming in, Damien.
Always a pleasure.
And Matthew Davidson from Bizzle and keen to trademark cash or trash. Thank you for joining us also.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.